have been studying this week about the power of the gospel message, and I brought a message last Sunday, and it may seem like I'm repeating a little bit today, but I've still got it on my mind, and I still feel that the Lord is laying a burden on me to just bring the message of salvation, what it means, and what the Lord can do for us. And I just have a burden. I want us to get it. I want our children to get it. I want our grandchildren to get it. To know how to be saved, to understand. I feel like there's so many lies that are being perpetuated by Satan today. In a land where we have access to the pure gospel, where preachers are preaching it, there's also a lot of lies that are being put out concerning salvation. And if Satan can blind our minds so that the light, well, look at this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It tells us that Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of them which don't believe. So if a person doesn't believe, if they've not come, let's say it this way, they've not come to belief. They're back. They're before they come to a believing state. People that are just out in this world, not ever having really believed the gospel. Satan blinds people's minds, and one scripture said, so they can't believe. So when they hear it, if they don't understand it, they can't believe it. You must understand it. And I believe this is really true. It says he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. You know why? And I believe we mentioned this last Sunday. If you and me really get it, if we hear the gospel message of how Jesus died on the cross for us, took our place, took our punishment, he came to save us from our sins, that message, if we don't understand it, it won't change us. We can hear it. We can hear it told to us, and it doesn't faze us. And then that takes us a step farther, because then we'll start thinking, I heard that message. It didn't do a thing for me. There's nothing to it. It's nothing. Okay? If you feel like that, if a person feels like that, Satan has blinded your minds. Because if you could really understand the gospel message, it's so powerful that it will change you. It will make a new creature out. And it has. We have proof. And that's another thing. Satan has blinded the minds of people because they don't see proof in people's lives around them. Here's one of the things that's going on in the world today. The churches out there, they say, I'm a messy Christian. That what they're saying is, I live a life that I still sin every day. And that gospel is not a gospel at all. And people who see messy Christians who sin every day and there's no change in their lives, when they see that, that's another way that Satan blinds the unbeliever's mind. See, there's nothing to it. They say they're a Christian. They live about the same way you live. And people go on, and the gospel message, they never understand that it's a gospel that will deliver a person from sin. Oh, how my heart longs for there to be people from this little building and from in this community that would live a life of proof, My Jesus lives. And the reason why I know he lives is because he has changed my life, and I no longer do the things that I once did. You won't find a true saint of God lying and telling lies to other people. There's a change that takes place, and that's how we prove the gospel message. And so that's one of the biggest reasons today why, how many, I believe, 97% of young people from churches are not believing in God. That's a big number. They're turning away from their churches. They go to college and their minds are turned to atheism. What's going on? We need people who can prove the gospel message by you looking at my life and you knowing I don't practice sin every day. I don't go in and do the evil, lustful things, dishonest, prideful, hurtful, unkind, harsh. I don't live that way anymore. I don't cuss and then say, oh, sorry. No. The person who the gospel has come into their lives has changed their lives. They live pure lives. They have pure language. This is a burden on my heart this morning. I want us to get it. I want people that we speak to and that we witness to, that they would see a difference. There would be a difference in our spirit. That they would know this person is a holy person. This person wouldn't hurt me ever. This person has love in their heart for me. Lord, help us to preach the gospel with our lives today. Well, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. I want to just talk about some of these lies that Satan has caused people to believe and that he has blinded their minds. These are some of the things that people believe. Titus 3 and 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You see, this is in the past tense. We're sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different, or divers it says, but that word means different. Different kinds of lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. I want to just stop right there. There's one thing that this confusion about living a life of sin and living a life of holiness, and just confusing the two and it all becoming one big blur in people's minds, that there's no difference. Here's what happens. People begin to think, God won't send me to hell because I've done some good things in my life. I am just as good as that churchgoer, that professor of Christianity over there. Why, I take care of the poor. I go out and I help with rehab with the drugs. I am a good dad. I'm a good mom. I love people. I don't hate people, certain people. There are people who justify their lives today and they say, I won't go to hell. I don't believe like you. I don't live like you. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I do this. Yeah, I drink. Yeah, I live in adultery. Yeah, I watch horrible, ugly, evil things. I'm no different from most Christians that I know, and I have some good things about me. God's not going to send me to hell because I have all these good things about me. That's one of the lies that I've heard. I've heard that from people in this area. When you want to talk to them about, I want to talk to you about salvation. Jesus came to save you. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need that. God won't send me to hell. So they don't see a need for anything, any prayer, any change. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, I need to get back in church. That's not what I'm talking about. The gospel message is something that you don't go to church. You have something that changes inside of you. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is within you. Have you believed this morning so that the kingdom of heaven has come within you? You know what the kingdom of heaven is? It's righteousness. It's peace. It's joy in the presence of God's Spirit who lives within you. If a person doesn't have that, most likely you're under some kind of lie of Satan in your life. The things that you do in your life, you have a master who really controls you. People don't know these things, but they trust in works of righteousness that they have done. And they think, I'm okay. I'm as good as the next person, and especially I'm as good as the churchgoers, and I'm all right. I'll make it. But the gospel message is that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. That we have been in this shape, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. There's a scripture that goes along with this, but it goes a little bit more in detail, and that's Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this one. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now the change between a real believer who has believed the gospel message and a sinner, the change is just that stark. Death and life. One is dead. His spirit, the things that His spirit should respond to, there's no response. Just like if you poke a dead person and you think, come on, do something. When you're not a believer, your spirit is dead like that. The things that are very real, the things that should touch you and make you respond, there is no response. A person who's dead in trespasses and sins, they don't have life in their spirit. But He says He has quickened you, or He has brought you to life. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, He has brought you to life. That's the difference. It's a difference between a dead person and a live person. When you believe, when you really believe the gospel message, it works life in you. The things that once you never even knew, you never were touched by, things didn't affect you, that becomes touchable. That becomes alive. When His lies are broken, then you can believe truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a freedom that a person doesn't know. When Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb, and He hollered in, Lazarus, come forth. Well, Lazarus came out, and he was all bound up. That's a picture of the way a person is in sin. When they're an unbeliever, they're bound up. Grave clothes on them, just like a mummy. Just can't do anything. He said, loose him and let him go. That's what the Lord does when He quickens someone. The message today in the churches that you're still in your sins, it's just like if He had called Lazarus out of the tomb and left him bound up. I say I'm saved, but I'm still bound. That doesn't make any sense. When He takes somebody out of the death of sin, He looses them and He lets them go. That's the gospel message. That's what the Lord will do. So He said, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you're in a band and you're walking in a parade and you're in parade form with a band, you all march to a certain beat, right? What if you're in the band and you decide not to go along with the band leader and the beat? What's going to happen to you? They'll kick you out, won't they? They'll kick you out of the band. In this way, just a little illustration here. We walked according to the course of this world. What the world said and did, that's what we said and did. If the fashion said it, we did it. If the leaders of society did it and said it, it was okay for us. That's what's happened. There's a course. There's a beat of the band, really, in this world. And we all naturally fell into it as we grew up. That was what attracted us. That's what, it was in us. It was inside us. The world was in us. Well, we also, it said, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The power of the air. I've looked and looked at that before and thought, what is that? Something in this literal air? No, it's talking about spiritual. It's talking about the spirits that are in the world of evil. And we walk, when we're not a believer, when we're dead in sin, we walk according to their directions and what they input into our lives. Have you ever heard extreme cases? We think sometimes they're extreme, but I don't think they're that extreme. People say, well, I had a voice in my head that told me to do this. You know what that is? That's a spirit. That's an evil spirit. There are spirits that tell, you say, that's way out there. No, there are spirits that tell people that you and I know, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. That's the power of the air, the spirits that whisper to you lies about God. They accuse God to you. The scripture calls that, he calls him the accuser of the brethren. And Jesus has cast him down and cast him out of the authority place, but he's got it if you give it to him. If you listen to his lies, then you'll believe them. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. Satan makes it look so logical that this is the way that it is. That's just one example. There are many others. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, just like in Titus, he said, we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, whatever you felt like you did. And so you have a world today that says, if you feel like it, then that's the thing to do. It can't be wrong if it feels so right, one of the songs says. So you just do that. That's part of the life of being spiritually dead, and that's part of the life of living to this flesh, fulfilling the lust of your flesh and the desires of your flesh and your mind. It says we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, this is what came to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now what does that mean? What's so wonderful about that verse? Why would it excite anybody? Why would it cause the heart to thrill? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. This scripture over here in Romans helps to explain that just a little bit. Romans chapter 5. It says here, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, a lot of times a person doesn't feel like they're without strength. They think, I can do anything I want. I don't have to do drugs. I can resist it, but I don't need your Jesus to do that. There are a lot of people who feel that way. But I'm going to tell you something about Satan's lies. He'll tell you that you've got it under control. But when you're under his control, if he injects that into your life, you just fall into it and you do it. You're helpless. And that's what we were talking about in the prayer request today. We're talking about the drug addicts and the alcoholics in our area. The people who are dying, the people who were in those orange suits We're walking down the street. They're trying to be free. There's a bondage out there that's so great that they can't break it. And it comes right in people that we know and love, and our children and grandchildren and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and parents and friends. It says when we're helpless, without strength, Christ died for us. He extends his mercy and his love to somebody who can't help themselves. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. Because that combats a second lie. Now here, it's like these lies Satan gives to people to believe, and they really conflict with each other. Because on the one hand, somebody says, I've got bad things in my life, but I also have good things, so that's the reason why I'll go to heaven, because I have some good things in my life that will redeem me. Well, that's one lie, but here's another lie. You're too bad to be saved. You ever hear Satan tell you that? You're too wicked. You're too evil. You can't live right. You can't change. Isn't that something that Satan, just ever how he can get you? He does that. You're good enough. You don't need salvation. Well, then here, another one is, you're too bad. That's just the devil. He just speaks lies. You're too bad. God wouldn't have you. You're not good enough. You're not special enough. Only special people can live like that. You can't change. You're in too deep. Well, now that you've sinned, you might as well go sin another time, because you're down there now. You might as well just do it good. Just be a good sinner. Just go do some more bad things, because you're not good enough to be saved. Nobody thinks you're good enough. Everybody over there hates you. When you come around, you feel bad and condemned. It's because they all think you're so bad. See all these lies that say, I know people who feel this way, who have felt this way. They don't want to go around church because they feel like everybody's judging them and they're just too bad. And at the same time, they try to come back with, well, I'm as good as you. But it's all a pack of lies Satan has put out there. But he says here, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus still went to the cross for whoever it was, whatever bad thing we had done. And did you know that if you were the only sinner in the world that needed saving, I want you to listen to me. If you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. It wasn't that there's just a whole bunch of us and a whole gang of us, and so he said, well, there's enough of you, now I'll go to the cross. No, that's not the way it was. If there was just one of us, he would have died to take your place so that you wouldn't have to be lost. Now, come to this. This is another lie. Well, I won't be lost. It doesn't matter if I have bad things in my life. God's going to let me go to heaven. Think about that. Think about the reality of that. Okay, so we live here on this earth, and the reason why it's so hard and there's so many troubles is because of what? Why? Why is there so many troubles? Certain people that live here? No, it's because of sin. Okay, so if God has a place for people to go where they can be at rest from all of that, and that there won't be any sin up there to trouble them, no murders, no accidents, everything's going to be perfect in heaven. And so God then allows me to go, and I'm still sinning, and I take my big old bunch of sin up there with me. What kind of a heaven are we going to have after a while? Sin, I grew up with this taught to me, and I believe it's still true. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. And so that's what Jesus came to do. If we could go to heaven anyway, No need for Jesus to have come. But since we believe he came, and it's proof, there's proof he came. He came to free us from our sin. That's what he told, the angel told Joseph. Name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is the gospel message that he came to deliver. Well, there's so much that's muddled it up. It's hard for people to understand it now and to get a real clear picture of what Jesus came to do. But I really believe that if I will have a seeking heart and come to him and say, Lord, I want to believe in you. I want that change in my life. I want you to save me. Wash me from my sins. I know that you shed your blood. You gave your life so that I could be made clean and free. I want you to save me. Forgive me. Now, when you come to him like that, it's a given then that you've got things that you know you've done wrong against God. And you confess them to him and you repent. And instead of saying, just save me, every day, after I do all these things every day, then I want you to forgive me. That's not what he came to do. He came to give us power in our lives to not do those things anymore. The things that are Satan controlled. He doesn't want Satan to still control you. He comes to take you out of the tomb of sin and then to unbind you from the clothes of sin, so that you can walk free and do what's right and do what the Bible says. People say, well, it's not works that saves you. No, but if they read on a little bit farther in Ephesians 2, it says he works in you unto good works. It's not works that save you. You could be just as horrible and do horrible things in your life, have horrible attitudes, and Jesus died for you. He loves you. Yes, he loves you, even though you are a sinner. And that's what we come to know when we have come to salvate to the Lord for salvation. We have to know, I'm the reason why you had to die, Lord. You died in my place. I should have been crucified, the song says. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I remember, I want to tell you a little personal story here. When I was a little girl, I was taught these things. I was taught that if Jesus came back and you were living in sin, that you wouldn't go to heaven. Or if you died while you were living, doing bad things, and you know, in my little life, I did my little share of bad things, and I knew it. I knew that I was doing bad things. And I heard the gospel message about the coming of the Lord and the end of time and the last day. And you know what's going to happen? All of the things that you see here are going to melt worse than any atomic bomb you've ever read about. When Jesus comes, everything is going to burn up and melt. And there will be no chance for prayer after that. And that's what I heard as a child, that there's coming a last day. Well, I heard that, and my heart was stirred up, disturbed because of my bad things that I was doing. So I went and I asked Jesus to forgive me. He cleaned up my life, forgave me. I felt so clean. I remember going to my mom and saying, I just feel clean. I'm ready to go. Now, if Jesus came back tonight, I don't have to be scared. I'm saved. Well, as life went on, as a little child, I found myself doing bad things again. Couldn't help it. Just things in my life I knew that I shouldn't do. I'd get angry and fight, lose my temper and hit somebody and say things that were not nice. And I knew that I needed more in my life. I wanted, but you know, even though I was scared of the coming of the last day, and that I had gone to the altar and asked Jesus to forgive me, I really didn't understand about what salvation was. But when I was 11, I came to the Lord in prayer at Monarch Springs camp meeting, and the Lord gave me a picture in my mind that it should have been me on the cross. And instead it was Jesus, and he was taking my place. And that I got it. I grasped it. And when I grasped that I was a real sinner, condemned to death, and should have died for my sin. But I didn't, because Jesus died for me and bore the punishment of my sin. And that was why he was dying, was because of me. When I got that, that's when a change came that was lasting. That's when my life changed. That's when he put love in my heart for people. That's when joy, lasting joy, came into my life. That's when I quit living to please myself. And he put love in my life for other people. Even those who were a trial to me before and I would get so mad at. God changed my little heart. And that was salvation. That was what I needed. And it came because I understood what the gospel was and I believed it. And something else happened in me. When I saw it and I believed what he had done for me, I loved him for it. I don't think I'd ever loved God before. I had never realized what he did for me. I didn't realize how I needed it. But that moment, I realized how bad I was and what Jesus had done to forgive me and taken my punishment, and I loved him for it. And I wanted to live for him because I saw what he had done for me. That's when the change came. I know everybody's different. Your experience may be different. But really, I think everybody's kind of boils down to that, where we realize, I want to live for him because I see what he's done for me. When you really see and understand it, it changes your life. And the reason why your life hasn't been changed, possibly even today, people, and I'm talking generally, anybody that's here that hasn't felt that change or seen that change, it's because you really haven't grasped that glorious light of the gospel. Something is covered up. It's like a camera. You got the lens cap on. No way you're going to make an impression. But you take the lens cap off, that light enters in. It makes the impression. The shutter opens, the light enters in, and you've got a picture. Satan keeps people's lens caps on so they cannot see the light, and it makes no image, no impression, no change. But once you see it, you're changed. Now, it's very possible if you and I begin to back up and walk behind that light. If you've got light in your pathway and it's shining down and you say, I want to step away from that and I want to walk over here and do my own thing, where are you stepping now? You're in darkness. It's possible for people to go away and go back into darkness again. We don't want to do that. The light is so precious to us. One scripture says, to us who believe, he is precious. That makes the difference. There's a difference. When you really see Christ and what he does and what he can do for you, what he did for you, when you see it, it's very, very dear to you. You don't let it go real quickly. You fight for it. You have temptations. You have people might offend you. Church people might hurt you. But if you've got a real, real experience that God has given you, where he's changed you, you don't let just anything cause you to fall away. You fight for it. You hold on to it. You pray until you have victory. And this is our walk all the time. We walk in a path that is lit by his light. We take step by step in that, Things try to get us to go this way and that way. But you still walk in the light. You take step by step with Jesus. And maybe you misstep. But you immediately say, Lord, oh, I don't want to do that. Lord, turn me, change me, complete your work in me. Lord, never again do I want to live and go into darkness. And you just keep fighting. You just keep walking in that light. The scripture says if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with other people who are walking in light. It's sweet. It's real. It's deeper than family ties. It's deeper than flesh and blood. It's a fellowship. People who love the Lord just like you, there's just something there. The family of God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a constant renewal and cleansing that keeps you pure as you walk in God's light. I don't know, this morning, I hope I've made good sense, and I hope that this morning this little burden will be put into our hearts and our lives today. He said, God commendeth. Let me finish this. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to just share with you a story now. Something that just happened. Over in another country. Speak to him strongly and directly. Do not be afraid. This is what Pastor Abraham heard from the Lord before he led an ISIS fighter to Christ. You see this gospel message that I'm telling you about? It still works today. This is just the last month or two. The ISIS fighter, Fadi, had been in the area recruiting Muslims to come to Syria to fight for ISIS. When several people in the refugee camps where he was recruiting told him of a Christian trying to get them to convert. This news infuriated the ISIS man. He decided to kill Abraham. Abraham had been threatened many times before as he shared boldly with Sunni Muslims crossing the border from Syria. But the more threats toward his family were becoming, but the threats toward his family were becoming more frequent and more serious. For several months, he had been dealing more and more with internal fear. He knew no better way to combat that fear than to pray and ask the Lord for strength. But the fear persisted. One day, he was working outside his house with an electrical saw. As he used it, the blade suddenly popped off and caught him in the mouth. Had the blade hit him a few inches lower, it would have hit an artery in his throat. If it had been a few inches higher, it would have blinded him. As he stood in shock for a moment, bleeding, he heard the Lord speak to him internally, saying, I am in control of when your life will end. Stop being scared. At that moment, Abraham's fears were calmed. So when Fadi, the ISIS fighter, appeared, walking toward Abraham's home to kill him, Abraham was ready. He heard the Lord say in his spirit, speak to him strongly and directly. Do not be afraid. Abraham said to him boldly, the Quran is from Satan. Muhammad is a prophet of Satan. And the God of Islam is the devil himself. At these words, Fadi began shaking uncontrollably. Abraham came beside him and told him, God is here beside you now, and He is putting His hand on your shoulder and asking you, what do you want? And Fadi said, I want salvation. Jesus will forgive your sins, Abraham told him. Fadi began to weep, and Abraham prayed with him before he left. A week later, Fadi came to Abraham's home again. He wanted to tell Abraham about a dream he had had. In the dream, Abraham gave Fadi an envelope, and the envelope had blood pouring out of it. Abraham told Fadi in the dream, don't be afraid. This blood is good. Fadi was afraid the dream meant either he or Abraham were going to die. Instead, Abraham told Fadi about Jesus' blood that paid for our salvation and forgave our sins. 4 months ago, Fadi was baptized in front of Abraham's church. He continues to come to Abraham for discipleship. He also won his wife to the Lord, and he is boldly sharing his faith in the Syrian refugee camp he is now living in. This gospel story is powerful. If it would win an ISIS fighter, what would it do for you and me if we really believe it?